we're going to go to midnight, we're going to need to take a halftime break about 9:30. Somebody get pizza and drinks on the way, because if I preach 5 hours, you probably have to bring an IV. Unless something very unusual happens, that probably won't take place tonight. We want the Lord to have his way. I am thankful you're here, thankful that God still has a remnant that desires to worship him and to be together as a family of God. I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to read these verses for a specific purpose. I won't preach on all of them, or it would take more than 5 hours, but we need to see them in the context. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Excuse me. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for this good day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of your hand in creation. As Sister Kim reminded us, we pulled out of the driveway and looked upon that beautiful sunset and just thought again, what a marvelous Creator, what a wonderful Father we have. And Lord, we know that tonight you've chosen to meet with us because you want to speak your word. Lord, you have sent your Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts, and I pray tonight that your voice would be heard. It would not be the voice of this man, but you would speak through these lips of clay. You would anoint for your glory and, Lord, for the good of souls, that each of us could draw closer to you and understand better how it is you want us to live as your children. For all you do, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I think most were here. If you weren't, I won't re-preach it, but I'll remind you, we preached about the subject, First Things First. And we read from Matthew chapter 22 what Jesus said in response to the question, what's the greatest commandment of all? Jesus said to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. This is the first commandment, the greatest command. Paul, of course, echoed that thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that wonderful chapter on divine love, and he said, love is the greatest thing of all. And I'll remind you, because I'm going to go a little further tonight, along this line of first things. But everything depends on what Jesus said there in Matthew 22. Of all the things in the Bible, speaks in many ways about first things and how it applies to our spiritual life. But we're not going to get anywhere. We're not going to gain traction. We're not going to move forward until we've got first things first. And that is to love God with all of our heart, to love Him supremely. So keep that in mind as we progress through this message tonight. I'll try to remind you on an hourly basis. I am joking. Not a comedian, but that's my last joke for tonight. I'd like to bring your attention to this verse, which is one of the most prominent of all the times in Scripture when this word first is used. Jesus Himself said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Our subject tonight, simply seek first the kingdom. Now, these verses that we've read contain so many wonderful truths, and I mean this honestly, you could not begin to cover all the depth of material in those verses in a few hours or a few sermons. But our purpose this evening is not to look at it all, but to look at, you all know what bookends are? You know, the this side and this side. We're not going to be able to deal with all that's in the middle, but the scriptures that make up the bookends, where we began reading in verse 24, and of course where our focus will be tonight in verse 33. Verse 24 is where Jesus, you know, in the course of the Sermon on the Mount, He touched on many, many subjects. In verse 24, He was picking up a new subject, so to speak, and he enters into this context, and it's important to understand that as you read. He said there that no man can serve two masters. He's letting us know that somebody's got to be first. You know, you can't have two heads. There's just one. Every human being has one master. And that is, according to Jesus, either it's God or it's mammon. Mammon is the word that Jesus uses here. And He's letting us know that every human being has to make a choice as to which master he will serve. Now, the word mammon, as it is used here, I'm trying to just keep things simple tonight to move forward, because I don't want to take up a great deal of time. But mammon simply refers to the world, or specifically the material things of the world. It represents a way of living, a lifestyle, as it is used today in Christian apologetics, a worldview. And that worldview of those who have mammon as their master is that the material things, the physical things, the financial things, they are the things that matter most. That is what it means to serve mammon. That's what every sinner serves. Every sinner, everyone without God, they're not serving God. God is not their master, so they are serving mammon. They're living not for eternity, but for this time world. That means they're living for material things. They're living for financial, physical things. And it means they are slaves. Slaves to a world system. A materialistic world system, excuse me. Those things of the world are what these people seek first. Jesus said in verse 32, which is just before the word "seek first the kingdom," He said, "This is how the Gentiles live." The Gentiles, they were not the people of God. The Jews, of course, were the covenant people of God. And He said, "This is how the Gentiles live. They seek after these things. They put these things first in their hearts and in their lives, and they're giving evidence of what is most important to them, because God is not their master. This is what they are pursuing." And the middle verses, I'm not going to deal with them, but Jesus You notice he's repeating there over and over, take no thought, take no thought. He's saying, don't worry, don't be anxious about these things. But it's because that group of people, just like you and I used to be at one time, when we were without God, without Christ as our Lord and Savior, we sought after the things of the world. And you know, when you're seeking after the things of the world, you soon realize, I don't have much control. And so that seeking without control produces what? Anxiety. It produces fretfulness. It causes people to worry because no matter how much you get, you are always concerned that it can all be gone in a moment. Amen? That's what it is to live under the world system. That's how sinners function. So Jesus is encouraging them, or us as God's people, his followers, those who are going to seek first his kingdom, we don't have to be anxious about these things. Don't worry and fret about these things. There are things that we are to concern ourselves with, but they are things of the kingdom. They're not about food and raiment and shelter and so on. Those are not to be the things that we are to worry about. And Jesus reminds us why. Because the one who is your heavenly Father is the King. And he knows you have need of these things, and he has promised to provide for his children. Amen? So Jesus, and I'm summing up those first 9 verses we read, getting to verse 33, but he's saying, instead of all of that worldly seeking that people do who don't have God as their master, who don't follow Christ, he's saying, as my people, as my followers, you are to seek first the kingdom of God. Amen? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then we have that great promise, which I'm not going to, that's an entire message in itself. It's not a way to barter with God and get something out of God, as some of the groups in religion try to do today. That, you know, I'll do this for God and then he's going to add all this to me. That's not what this verse is about at all. It simply said, if you, as my children, will seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, then God is going to be faithful to take care of your needs. Amen? And we can say tonight that we have found it so. All of the necessary, you say, Brother Chris, I don't have everything I want. Well, he didn't say you get everything you want. He said everything you need. All my needs supplied. Amen? That would take a lot of time, and I'm not joking about that again, but I mean, just to try to unpack all that is in this single verse, but I want to keep it simple tonight. These words of Jesus, it seems, would be very obvious, and I believe that every soul that is trying to keep the first thing first, that means they love God supremely. God will give us the understanding that we need. But again, the word we're emphasizing this evening, as we did today in the morning service, is the word first. Seek first. You know, when you seek something first, that means something else is going on. You know, some preachers have used this like, all you got to worry about is the kingdom of, all you got to concern yourself with, all you seek is the kingdom. But Jesus, he's not prohibiting, now listen, he is not prohibiting the seeking of our necessary things. He's not saying don't seek to take care of your financial needs and your food needs and your clothing needs. He's not prohibiting what is necessary to take care of them. What he's saying is don't seek that first. You understand the word first? It's something that's been ignored, because I've read and heard some that say, you know, just preachers tell people you can just quit your jobs and everything. As long as you seek God, he's going to have people take care of you. Well, bless your heart, you might get hungry. Because that's not what God's word instructs us. Matter of fact, God's word instructs us to labor with our hands. We earn a living by the sweat of our brow. Or in some cases, by the sweat of our brain. You know what I mean. Jesus lived as a man. For 30 years before his earthly ministry began, which was so short, he lived a very humble life, a life without a lot of nice things. He knew that we have to take care of, and he had done that for his own mother and family, Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. We don't know at what point, but sometime earlier in Jesus' life, Joseph had passed away, and Jesus had worked to provide for himself and Mary and the family. He knew what it was. He knew that families needed food. He knew they needed clothing. He knew they needed shelter. So he's saying, he's not prohibiting seeking those things, but he's saying, don't seek them first. Don't seek them so that they control you. Amen? This is the real problem. Don't seek those things at the expense of your soul or the kingdom, as the context is in this verse. He's reminding us that God is our master. God is our father. God is our king. Amen. And as we serve him who is our master, as we honor him as children of the Father, as we recognize and glorify him as the king that he is, naturally we are going to seek his kingdom and his righteousness above everything else in life. Now, what does it say, Brother Chris? What does that mean? I don't understand. And there is a lot of misunderstanding today. Matter of fact, just the phrase "kingdom of God," you can buy volumes of books and things about it. I'm not going to go far in that. I just want to stick tonight for a few minutes with. See, I'm not interested in what men say. I'm interested in what God says. I'm interested in what God's word says. And I hope that's why you're here tonight. What does it mean, the kingdom of God? If we're to seek it, what does that mean? How do you seek a kingdom? Well, let's listen to what the Bible says. There was a time in Jesus' ministry, and this is in Luke 17 in verses 20 and 21. One of the Pharisees came to Jesus, and you remember how the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, how they looked at the thought of the kingdom. They were always thinking how? On a carnal level. They were always thinking material, always thinking literal, physical. And so one of the Pharisees asked Jesus this question. When will the kingdom of God come? And it says, and I'm quoting, Jesus answered, "Kingdom of God does not come with observation." Y'all know what that is? You can't see it. "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Amen. I've just quoted from God's word. I'll add one more scriptural definition to that. Not my comments or not anybody's thoughts, but just God's word. The Apostle Paul, who understood the kingdom of God, the Spirit inspired him in Romans 14 and verse 17. He said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink," what things you can touch, taste, handle, "not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Amen? That's couple things, not nearly all. I'm not turning to these, but Jesus said in another place, "My kingdom is not of this world." Amen. So it's very clear that the kingdom that he is instructing us to seek first, it's very important. If we're going to seek it first, I need to know what I'm seeking. The kingdom that we're to be seeking first is not something literal. It's not something that I can get my hands on as a physical or material thing. It can't be touched, handled in any way like men do with literal physical kingdoms because it is not a physical kingdom. Amen? I don't know how, I don't want to get too crazy, but how to emphasize that strongly enough in this deluded spiritual world that we are in. Kingdom of God is, what is a kingdom, first of all? That is a realm in which a king reigns. Everybody agree? I mean, whatever you think right now, literal, spiritual, you know, physical, metaphysical, however, a kingdom is a realm where a king reigns. And since this kingdom Jesus just described, it's not one that comes with observation. It's not one that can be touched, tasted, handled. It's not of this world. That tells us that it is the realm of the king, but it is in a place where man cannot put their hand to it. Now, Jesus already made this. There's no need alluding to it because Jesus made it plain. He said, the kingdom is within you. Amen? The kingdom of God is within you. You can listen to what a lot of preachers say today and you can get carried away with dimes and all the ideals that men have, but you need to get back to God's word. Because the word says the kingdom of God will not be seen with these natural eyes. It won't be handled with these physical hands because it is not an earthly kingdom. It's not physical. It is the realm in the human heart where the king reigns. Amen? The rule and the reign of the king. It is that place, to use the words of Isaiah the prophet, where the government is on the king's shoulders. Amen? Remember, we said that child that is coming, the government's going to be on his shoulders. I wrote a week or so ago a devotional about that leading up to Christmas. The government's going to be on his shoulders. Where is the government on his shoulders? In the kingdom. Amen? If you're in the kingdom, if the kingdom's in you, that means that the king is reigning, his government, his rule, and thank God his righteousness is the rule in that kingdom. Some of the greatest divisions in Christian history have been because men have ignored these simple truths about God's kingdom. It is where the realm where the righteousness of the king rules. Amen? And you could go a lot further, which I'm not going to take time to do that tonight, but to expand upon the words of Paul in Romans, it is where the king brings peace. Where the king brings joy. Now, how could that be? Because there's no rebellion. Amen? It is the realm where God himself is reigning and ruling. It is where his righteousness is the law. It is where he is glorified. It is the heart and the life in which the king is exalted. The king is lifted up. The king is obeyed. The king's government is responded to. It is the rule and reign of the King of glory in the human heart. I don't know how much more clear Jesus could have made that. I think that he said exactly what he meant to say when he said, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen? So we need to be very clear about that, because if not, we're going to be seeking the wrong thing. And because men have been taught contrary to Scripture, and people not reading their Bibles or believing them have been led astray, What most religious people today are seeking is another kingdom. Just, they're making the same tragic mistake the Jews made 2,000 years ago that caused them to crucify Jesus Christ. We thought you were coming to set up a physical kingdom, and they weren't happy when he started explaining these things. My kingdom's not of this world. And even the disciples, like, what a minute, what? My kingdom, not out here, not out there, it's in you. That threatened their whole way of thinking. That threatened their worldview, because they were thinking on a carnal level, just like religion is doing today. And what men are seeking when they hear this term is they want a kingdom where they're going to sit on a throne and they're going to get to be the big shot and they're going to get to boss people around. They are going to be very surprised one day. Amen. Because there are no big shots in the kingdom except the king. Amen. This was the great mistake of the Jews. This was what threw the disciples off. They didn't understand till later. They were so carnal-minded. But you remember after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, what did the Holy Spirit? He began to bring to remembrance the things Jesus had said. He didn't have to add anything new. He just brought back to their minds what Jesus had said. And these things all became clear, and they finally began to realize, and they began to see the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom as it is, and they realized that Jesus is our king, but his kingdom is never going to be of this world. Hallelujah. That's what he told them. It's not of this world. So, brother, sister, this is important, because if we're going to be seeking a kingdom first, this is our foremost thing to seek. Not money, not fortune, not fame, not success, not this or that like the world is going after. That's the slaves to mammon. We are to be seeking the kingdom of God. Those words are settled. But if we're going to seek the kingdom, we've got to know what it is. What does it mean for us personally, individually? You, me, we have to be seeking for the establishment of that kingdom in its fullness in our own hearts and lives. First. Not done yet, but first. See, it's easy to say these things, but the king has a government. And his rule and his reign comes into our heart and life, and that brings our self-will into conflict. And so we have to seek this. You say, oh, I got everything. Nobody needs to waste your breath telling me after church, when you come to the altar, you got everything you needed. You never had to pray again, do anything. Nobody needs to waste your breath, because I might just call you a liar. Nobody. We all. Amen. We all have needed a lot of things since we first stepped into the kingdom. Or the kingdom came into us. We have to be seeking for that kingdom to be established in our hearts. The government of the king in every, now this is big, every detail of our life. Everything, a word we say, every action, every deed, amen. Our attitudes. We have to seek for, what did he say? And his righteousness. The righteousness of the king to be our righteousness. And that's what Apostle wrote about Jesus. He is our righteousness. You know that Jesus even instructed this to be a part of the Lord's Prayer. You remember that simple prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next words? Thy kingdom come. And the next words is not something different. He is describing what is a part of the kingdom. Thy will be done. And a little preposition that most people miss. They said, oh, Brother Chris, he's praying there that it'll happen on earth. That's not what he said. He said, in earth. We are the earthen vessels. We are those, by the words of Jesus, we are those in which the kingdom comes. The kingdom of God is within you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth. Amen. Because that's, we all earth. I don't need it to come in this ball of dirt, but we need it to come in here. First, that's what we're to be seeking first. But it doesn't end there when we have sought and found the establishment of that kingdom in our own hearts and lives, and the King in his fullness has come, and there is no more rebellion. Hallelujah. But we are to be seeking the kingdom still in the lives of others. Hallelujah. Now I'm talking about soul winning. Now I'm talking about discipleship. Now I'm talking about teaching and preaching and witnessing and praying. Amen. Because in all of these efforts of what we call outreach, we're seeking to see the kingdom of God come and be established in the hearts of those that God loves. Amen. You know, when Sister Tammy's over there with her class, and the ladies back with the junior church or whoever it is with the little kids, they're seeking for the kingdom of God to come into the hearts of those little children. Amen. When I'm preaching, when the teachers are teaching, when we're praying for souls, when we're witnessing, when we're inviting people to church, when we're maybe it's not the time to say anything, but we're living a Christ-like life to set a good example before others, we are seeking for the kingdom to come into the hearts of those that are around us. Amen. Understand? Nod, okay? You know, I can go 4 more hours. No, I really won't. I'm going to wrap this up, actually. This is what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. First. This is job number one. You know, God knows when you go and you hit that time clock that your family needs you to bring home money to pay the water bill and to buy groceries and things, but there's a higher purpose when you're on that job. Amen. Because they're souls. And while you're doing those necessary things, God can be using your life if you're seeking first the kingdom to be a good example, that every word would be like the words of Jesus, that every attitude you express would be like Jesus. Amen. That's part of the way we seek first the kingdom. It's not just standing up here preaching. It's when I'm home. It's when I'm out in the community. It's, amen. Because this is first. Imagine what a difference this would make if more believers actually understood this, that when they, that everything that they are doing in their life, it's supposed to be seeking first the kingdom. If it's not promoting God's kingdom, it doesn't need to be done. The establishment of God's rule, God's reign in the hearts of mankind. But I'll close with this statement, which I've already said in opening. Until we get first things first, until we love God supremely, we're never going to do this. All that will happen is what happens in religion today. Your religious life becomes a small piece of the pie. Yep. You know, that's all it is for most people. They give God an hour on Sunday morning, a few minutes Sunday night, even fewer Wednesday night, but God's just got a small piece of the pie, and they live their life without any regard whatsoever for God. But when you put first things first, and I'm closing, our musicians come ahead. When you put first things first, and you choose to make God supreme in your affections, that means to love Him above all others, then you're going to be desiring to seek first His kingdom. Amen. And you will want God to live and rule and reign in your heart through the Holy Spirit, and you will want to see that taking place in souls that you care about, that you are reaching out to. So I want to encourage you tonight. Keep first things first. But as we do, let's seek first the kingdom. Everywhere we go, everybody's life that we interact with, seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to ask you to stand. Father, thank you for this time tonight, for your word that is so important.